You know, the birth of Christ is a simple message. It's something that we hear over and over. Over a billion people is going to celebrate Christmas. There'll be candlelight. There'll be carols. The smell of pine in houses. The cookie baking. And the story will unfold once again. There'll be Gabriel's visitations. The journey to Bethlehem, the arrival of the baby in the stable, the glorious announcements to the shepherds, the star in the east, and the journey of the Magi. The story is familiar to each and every one of us, but in a world of religious diversity, the message sometimes gets lost. There's many that have great doubt and disbelief in the message of the season, the things that are biblical about the Christ. But it's not about the doubt or the disability or disbelief that we're here today. We have to guard against something different. The danger we face each year is becoming too familiar with the story. We know it all too well, and it loses the message, the awe, the wonder that was the birth of our Savior. In the beginning, maybe we coveted the presence of the Lord, and maybe today we take it just a little bit for granted. In the beginning, we were awed by Him. We were awed by the Christmas story. But now as we grow older, sometimes it seems to lose its luster. The songs that we sing become stale. We've sung them all again. The Bible that was so real to us, the stories become old as we reread them over and over again. The testimonies of our brothers and sisters, they don't move us in the ways that they did because we lost our awe, our wonderment in God. And the birth of Christ, we've told the story so many times. We've heard the messages so many times about the birth of our wonderful Savior that we no longer get stirred up. We no longer rise up to the message. 500 years ago, Martin Luther said that the mystery of humanity of Christ, that He has sunk Himself into our flesh, is beyond all human understanding. A God that was fully divine took upon Himself to inhabit a human body, to live among us. And that's certainly beyond me. That's beyond my comprehension. I know the story. I know what happened. But I don't have the depth of my soul to understand everything that God did, what the love that He has for us. We're going to look back in Luke 2, verses 1 through 21. Again. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same company country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen and was told to them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the Christ, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. If you look at the back on the text, you see the first few verses. Throughout the Roman Empire, people were required to come and register to the ancestral homes. It was a census to count the people, know where they were at. Joseph was a descendant of King David, so he took his fiancée to Bethlehem. You know, it's evident that hundreds of people were making this journey, were traveling down, because there was no room for them at the inn. And you just think about that. In one spot, Bethlehem, as people come to sign up for the census, how they all funneled into one area. Think about Cedar Point, Walt Disney World, any of the tourist attractions. You're traveling there, the roads are clear. It's okay to travel, but as you get closer and closer, all the people were funneled into one little area, one little road. Makes me think of Cedar Point. As you get there, you have to travel one road out onto the peninsula where it sits. So all those people that come from around the compass points come to one point. And that's the way I believe it was for Joseph and Mary. As they got closer and closer to Bethlehem, there were more and more people making the journey. And there was no place to stay. But that was in God's plan. God had this. While all this was going on, while Mary gave birth to Jesus and wrapped him in the rags and put him in the feeding trough, the angels were rejoicing. The angels came to the shepherds, told them what had happened, and broke out in song for the glory to the Lord. They told the shepherds that a Savior had been born. They told them where to go and where to look to see this amazing Christ child. When the angels had gone, the shepherds, it said, made haste into Bethlehem to see for themselves. 500 years this event had been foretold, and now here it was, the great day. Think of your anticipation when you were kids of Christmas morning to unwrap presents. I believe this was the anticipation of these shepherds as they hurried to see the Christ child. And it said they told everyone they saw the good news. They spread the wonder concerning Christ. Then on the 8th day, following the law, they circumcised the baby and gave him the name of Jesus, just as it was ordered to do. Some wonderful things happened that night, and I want to just touch on 3 of them today. First, the birth of Christ resulted in praise. You can only speculate how much the angels knew about the birth of Christ before they came down. But there was no question about how excited they became. There was choruses of angels singing and rejoicing in the birth of Jesus Christ. They were singing great praises in plain sight of the shepherds. When they left, the shepherds rushed to Bethlehem. But they too were praising on the way. It said they went to the stable praising God. Imagine this scene with these men gathered around with great joy in their heart, praising God for the miracle that just happened. The prophecy being fulfilled, the great Jesus Christ. the promised Messiah. What a sight for sore eyes. So they told everyone they saw. C.S. Lewis says, I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses, but completes the enjoyment. Is it not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are? The delight is incomplete until it is expressed. I mention that because I want us to understand today how important praise should be in your life, and lack of praise be a concern. We all praise what we delight and take joy in. Stop and think about it for a minute. Do you ever know a fisherman who didn't tell stories about his catch? What about a golfer? He always tells you about what good game he has. And what about the parents in this room? Don't you take every opportunity to tell stories about your children, your grandchildren? You praise. It's because that's what matters to you. You lift up in praise the things that are important, because that's how we communicate with each other, as we tell our stories about our grandkids, about our children, about the things that we have accomplished. That shows a joy in our heart and a happiness. But the absence of praise should be a warning. They say you do not praise because you have no real desire to praise what you don't enjoy. The birth of Christ resulted in great praise for many, many people. They were involved. They were delighted in the news. But what about us? Has the story become so commonplace, we don't take the time to share the birth of Jesus Christ with those around us, to take time to praise the miracle that happened? They got a glimpse of God Himself through Jesus Christ, and they took that time to rejoice and to praise Him. And God's work in our lives, if it truly brings joy to us, we should praise Him and not just accept it as another thing of another day. And the birth of Christ resulted in great news. There's a story. A farmer went to his banker. He announced, he said, I have bad news and I have good news. And the banker said, okay, let me have the bad news first. And the farmer said, well, it's been hard times. He says, I can't make my mortgage payments on the farm. And he says, and also that crop loan that I've taken out every year for 10 years, he says, I can't pay that either. He said, and on top of that, the $200,000 loan I have on farm equipment and other things, he said, I'm not going to be able to pay that either. He said, so I'm going to have to give up the farm. I'm going to turn it all over to you, and you can recover whatever you can. And there was silence there for a few minutes. Then the banker says, well, what's the good news? And the farmer says, well, I'm going to continue banking with you guys. Yeah. But that's not really the kind of good news I'm talking about. Luke 2:10-11 says, and the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The words good tidings means good news, that they brought great news. It was a joy because it had been long anticipated. It was a great joy because it was the Messiah, the Savior. He was finally here. It was a great joy that didn't end with just that birth. It was joy that would be given to all those who called on His name. I think for us today, we don't think about the fact that this was a prophecy that the nation of Israel had been waiting for. It had been hundreds of years, and they were waiting on this promise of God to be fulfilled, this great Messiah, this great Lord that was supposed to come. And for me, it brings me great joy to know I have a God, even though He's so all-powerful and the Creator, that He loves me enough that He did this for me. He did it for you and the rest of the world, but He did it for me. And that's what I was praying about this morning. God loved each one of us as individuals, that His Son was given for you. And you can say, God loves me, and He brings joy to my heart. He was born for me, He lived for me, and He died for me. He rose from the grave for me, and He makes intercession for me. Our God is a personal God. There's no other religion in this world that has a living Savior, a personal Savior for each and every one of us. And I have great joy today for knowing what God did for me through His Son. But better than that, He gave us the great news of coming peace. In verse 14 it says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. In Isaiah 9:6, it says that it was prophesied that a child would be born, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Think about that. Tie that back to the birth of Jesus Christ. That was prophesied. The prophecy continues that He will be the Prince of Peace. And it says there will be no end. So I'm standing here today and I'm thinking God is going to supply me with peace through the rest of my mortal life and into my spiritual life. And that's something to think about as we celebrate Christmas, the great promise that was given to us of peace and happiness, joy. The Bible says we can have peace with God if we're justified by faith. The angels said they brought great tidings of great joy. And that's only because born that day in the city of David was a Savior, not a politician and not a warrior that the nation of Israel was expecting. He was a Savior, the Christ the Lord. And the birth resulted in glory. Glory is a hard word. I think it's hard to pin down sometimes. We know what it means, but it's hard to give it a definite definition. Christ's birth was the glorious fulfillment of the prophecy. Daniel foretold when the Christ was to be born. Isaiah said that the virgin would conceive. Prophet Micah told us where Christ would be born. And Jeremiah foretold the king killing all the innocent babies. The life of Jesus Christ is an amazing testament to God. Over and over, God put His name on things that were about to happen. We've read a little bit of the prophecies on Sunday night in the book of Daniel of what was going to happen. And who else but God can put His name on the line and tell you exactly what's going to happen. You know, for us, we can say what we think is going to happen. I can tell you what I think the weather is going to do today, but it'll just be a guess. But with God, it was perfection. Only God is glorious enough to see tomorrow as well as He sees today and yesterday. The birth was glorious in its wonder, because the whole Old Testament is a story building up to the birth of Jesus Christ and preparing His children for their salvation. The virgin birth is a wonder. It's a wonder to me that the King of Kings was born in a manger. But that was God's plan. I think of all the wonders surrounding the birth of Christ, the angels, the shepherds, the Star of Bethlehem, the journey of the Magi to come and see the Christ child. All these things point to the glory of God. You take the time to sit down and look at all the miracles that happened in the birth of Christ. And you can't help but stand in wonderment how all this was put together. The importance of the birth of one baby, one child. But there's another reason I think that the birth results in glory to God, and it's because we can all experience it personally. You know, the shepherds were right there. They were the only ones to be invited. The angels appeared to them, spoke to them, sang in front of them. Even the Magi didn't have a birth announcement. But they appeared to these common men with a common purpose. And they were given an uncommon experience. They were told, then they went to see. You see, they may have been uniquely experienced by this, but the same is available to us. We just have to open ourselves up to the possibilities. Luke 2:20 says, "Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things they had heard and seen, as it was told to them." See, this tells me the shepherds were open to the message. They were open to the glory of God and to things that they just experienced. And that can be our experience too. If we're open and we remember the value of the Christmas story. Today the Holy Spirit is willing to give you the same experience that the shepherds had. An opportunity to see through your eyes of faith the birth of Christ and stand in the wonderment and the glory of God. Let's all stand together. Let's bow our heads and just take a moment. See, we need to remember that Christ is not in the manger today. He doesn't hang on the cross of Calvary. Today he sits at the right hand of the throne of God, awaiting the Father to command him to return here and finish the work that he began a long time ago. His birth in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago was only the first of two visits that Christ's going to make to this earth. On that first visit, he came to purchase your salvation. He came to live and die and rise from the grave to pay for your sins. He came to offer you and me eternal life. And his invitation is for you to be reconciled to God by turning yourself and trusting in the work that he did. God will forgive you of your sins. He will look upon you as though you never sinned, and you will never sin again. But you have to place your faith in Jesus Christ and accept him as Lord and Savior. The birth of Christ was just the big beginning of many, many miracles that God has placed before us. The miracle of his forgiveness, his love, his charity, his willingness to be patient with us as we grow. And I plead with you today to not miss an opportunity to share in the wonderful birth of Jesus Christ. Do not allow becoming too familiar with the story to rob you of the joy that comes. He's worthy of your praise today. His birth is still the greatest news in the world. And everything about his birth brings glory to God. I want you to take the time this coming week just to stop and thank and take glory in the birth of Jesus Christ and all that means to each and every one of us. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just praise you. Father, I can never truly understand the depth of your love or comprehend all the things of Jesus' birth. I don't think I have the capacity to feel the joy to truly know the joy of the birth of Jesus Christ. But Father, I take the time as I reread the story and I focus on Jesus Christ and not on the presence or the trees or the lights, but the cry of a baby, a birth announcement by angels, of common men spreading the news of the birth of Christ. Father, I take the time to recognize the fulfillment of prophecy and your plans to redeem your children through the birth of that child. And I just praise you and I thank you for the gift you gave that night. I give you all glory and honor. I thank you that the words were written down in the book. That we have the Bible, Father, to read and to study and to relive every year at this time the miracle of a virgin birth and of God walking on this earth. I just stand humbled by a God that loves his people so much. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that I pray. Amen. Don't forget, 5 o'clock tonight, we'll meet here at the church for Christmas caroling. And don't forget Christmas Eve service at 5 o'clock on the 24th. Rick?
Hearing the Father, Lord, again. I thank you for this message, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the birth of Christ that come for to save our souls, Lord, and to be the Savior of the world. Lord, I ask that you just help us all to go out in this world and show folks that's the meaning of Christmas, dear Lord. I thank you for the ones that was here this morning, Lord, and I thank you for the ones that couldn't be here, Lord. I just ask that you bless them all, Lord, and just continue to help us to be better witnesses, Lord. I thank you so much for this church. We ask these things in your name. Amen.